Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled, Transition is a Constant Reality Experienced in the Now of the Past in Relationship to the Near Future and the Distant Eternal Adventure. Here is Neon Emerson Chase.
In January of 1988, I thought I was ready to walk out of the lifestyle I was living. I thought I was ready to be a real mover and shaker. I thought I was ready to expand my understanding of myself, of life, of God. Until I encountered Gabriel and Celestial Overcontrol, and they came almost simultaneously. Wow. Did I suffer from culture shock? What I wasn't so ready to do was unlearn so much of the knowledge I had acquired, rethink some of my values, reassess some of my strong opinions, redo a lot of my way of doing things. I often felt tortured in my conflict with the clash of my lesser self with my emerging cosmic self. Does that sound familiar? How many of you are experiencing that? Several months later, I wrote in my journal about my emergence into learning and living epical revelation. There is much to process as this downpour of information drenches me. At times I feel as if I'm drowning as the flood rushes me into this newness, discarding the old leaky foundations that cannot carry me on this torrent of change. I'm rushed and thrown about and battered when I hang on to stationary rocks and limbs rooted in the old earth foundation. I gasp for breath when I blindly allow myself to be pushed into established whirlpools that entrap and drown. I must flow with this raging, swollen river, which will carry me into the golden era of the future, the third garden, where higher love and justice balance in the paradise circuitry and harmony with the divine mind preside. Today, 15 years later, I am still surfing the river of transition, but this time the ride seems to flow more smoothly. Usually. I see life as a river that constantly flows and moves towards the ocean of Urantia-level consciousness. It flows through varied landscapes, over different terrain, with we human beings being swept along in this river of life. Sometimes we individuals can hold up our personal progress on the river by tenaciously hanging on to a rock or a root-bound tree. But eventually, those stationary rocks and trees will also be moved by the water. If you've rafted for some distance down a river, you know that a river has its quiet, still places, its whirlpools, its rough white water waves, and so on, just as our lives has its flows and swirls. A river has many faces, many forms, all dependent on many variables. It goes through numerous transitions, which we humans experience whether we are moving with the river or watching it flow by us. Even if we are stationary, watching the river day by day, it changes with the rhythm and rhyme of seasons, weather, plant and animal life, and the actions of humans. As time marches on, events, big and small, natural and unnatural, continue to unfold. Continents come and go. Oceans expand and contract. Mountains grow and diminish. Plants and animals evolve and then become extinct. Cultures and civilizations flourish and die out. All is in transition. According to the 10th edition of Merriam-Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, transition means a passage from one state, stage, subject, or place to another. Change, a movement, development, or evolution from one form, stage, or style to another. An abrupt change in energy state or level. The Urantia book indicates that within divine pattern, there is a constant state of evolution, ascension, moving forward, and this continual movement happens in all three universe levels of reality, the material, the mental, and the spiritual. The fifth epical revelation also tells us that within divine administration, throughout the universes of time and space, there is a constant adaptation and adjustment to a variety of situations that come up, that all personalities, from planetary level up to super universe level and even into Havona level, are continually having to make changes to go through transitions, adjustments, readjustments. Gabriel has stated that transition, ascension is transition. The Urantia book outlines the human ascension and refers to us as transition mortals. The mansion and constellation worlds that we ascend through are called worlds of transition culture and transition worlds. Urantia life on those worlds is called transition life. In our ascension to paradise, we mortals will experience transition rest and transition sleep. At every stage in our progress, including here on Urantia, Earth, we humans have some form of transition minister, some angel or other personality to aid us in our shift from a lower to a higher level of existence. There are angels who help us as individuals to adapt and change into something better. And there are angels who work with groups, nations, races, whole civilizations to aid them in their transition into something more advanced and sustainable. The Urantia book also points out that within a whole society as well as within an individual person, transition is always accompanied by confusion. This temporary chaos happens in nature, in civilizations, and within individuals. Webster's New World Collegiate Dictionary defines the word paradigm as a model or overall concept accepted by most people in an intellectual community as those in one of the natural sciences because of its effectiveness in explaining a complex process, idea, or set of data. John Reed, a local journalist, says that today the term paradigm shift is used to refer to what occurs when a fundamental change in our perception of reality takes place. The concept is not about tinkering about the edges of this system or that. It is about new systems of thought with new conceptual and scientific basis. In a newspaper column entitled Notes on the Possibility of Change, Mr. Reed refers to author Thomas Kuhn and his book, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, which relies on the concept of paradigm shift to explain how human understanding of the world moved from Aristotle to Galileo to Newton to Einstein. Kuhn pointed out that big changes, paradigm shifts, do not come easily, for a range of interests are arrayed against such change. Those who have benefited and continue to benefit by the rules of the dominant paradigm. Those whose experiences have been satisfactorily explained by the dominant paradigm. those whose reputation depends on adherence to the dominant paradigm, and those whose questions can be answered within the constraints of the dominant paradigm. We in divine administration refer to the dominant paradigm of the dominant culture in Western civilization as the third dimension. We realize that a great planetary paradigm shift is destined to happen when the world accepts the fifth epical revelation that is continuing to be revealed as divine administration principles are implemented, first here in Aquarian Concepts community, and then eventually worldwide. Right now, there is a great resistance to the continuing fifth epical revelation message about the adjudication and the need for divine administration principles to be implemented first in individuals and then within a group united to personal and planetary redemption and rehabilitation within divine administration mandate and procedure. Thomas Kuhn did point out in his book that revolutions do occur when there is a crisis of explanation and understanding, when an older paradigm no longer adequately meets problems. When a new paradigm is available, the revolution can be sudden, or it can take place over some time. In his column, Mr. Reed notes that the process of changes that take place in science is analogous to what happens in the political sphere. Specifically, political revolutions begin when a growing number of people sense that existing institutions and processes no longer address problems satisfactorily. These people become estranged from the political process and often develop alternative institutions to deal with the problems identified as important. Competing camps may form, a paradigmatic struggle may follow, and either the old paradigm shifts and accommodates the new questions and concerns, or it is consigned to the dustbin of history while a new paradigm flourishes. Mr. Reed goes on to state, for those of us living in the material prosperity of this culture, the destiny of a concept such as a paradigm shift might make it seem obscure or even irrelevant. Given our perceived general sense of security, many might wonder how a paradigm shift would ever get footing. From where would come a critical mass to change anything fundamental when things are going so well? Isn't material progress, after all, inevitable? Isn't bigger, faster, wider, better? Isn't it true that he who dies with the most toys wins? Isn't a substantive paradigm shift within our culture simply implausible? Kuhn would say, not necessarily. Not if our fundamental frames of reference no longer provide satisfaction in terms of important questions. What questions might stimulate a nascent paradigm shift? A couple of examples will suffice. Why should our starting point not be the honoring of the land, rather than its reconstruction based upon our version of improvement? Why should distribution of abundance not be the starting point rather than the acquisition of abundance? After asking those questions, Mr. Reed goes on to state, of course, these questions imply a return to older ways of understanding, older paradigms. The first is at the heart of much of American Indian spirituality. The second is grounded in the teaching of Jesus. Interestingly, when Mr. Reed wrote this column a few months ago, he was a copy editor at Larson Newspapers, which publishes the Red Rock News. I noticed, though recently, that he has been promoted to assistant managing editor. He has written several columns that question uncontrolled growth in Sedona and encourage people to become wiser by looking into the teachings of various religions. Mr. Reed is just one in hundreds of thousands of people who are beginning to be uncomfortable in the dominant culture and desire a paradigm shift. Some think that this great change can happen by changing social and political institutions. Others, like Mr. Reed, think that some kind of spirituality has to be involved, that in order for this revolution to happen, we have to go back to older, wiser ways. Mr. Reed states, "Perhaps for us in these times, it's more a question of rediscovering the power of old paradigms than a question of discovering new ones. Perhaps the hope for us is not traveling to a new place, but in the words of T.S. Eliot, to arrive where we started, and know the place for the first time." Mr. Reed is partially right, but instead of a revolution, we need a spiritualution, which is a movement of millions inspired by divine administration. True revolution is the spiritual fusion of the heart, earth, star knowledge, teachings of the old ways of the ancestors with the latest revelatory cosmic teachings of ascension science and the physics of rebellion in continuing fifth epical revelation. It is the realization by 500 million starseed who have not been able to fit into the present system that they have lived before and know that they have a point of origin from another universe. Now that's quite a bit bigger than John Reed's or anyone else's vision. The Urantia book emphasizes that every epical revelation has not been involved with revolution, but with a type of holistic, accelerated evolution implemented by divine administration, by persons mandated to bring teachings built upon the foundation of older truths, expanding upon established wisdom, and introducing new concepts. Epical revelation is overseen by celestial personalities working with persons in a material body. Epical revelation is ethereal and practical, spiritual and scientific, cosmic and earthy. A Melchizedek of Nebadon tells us in a section called Transition Difficulties in the Urantia book, "During the psychologically unsettled times of the 20th century and the beginning 21st century, amid the economic upheavals, the moral cross currents, and the sociologic riptides of the cyclonic transitions of a scientific era, thousands upon thousands of men and women have become humanly dislocated. They are anxious, restless, fearful, uncertain, and unsettled. As never before in the world's history, they need the consolation and stabilization of sound religion. In the face of unprecedented scientific achievement and mechanical development, there is spiritual stagnation and philosophic chaos." The Urantia book also indicates that unrealistic optimism, which is different than the balanced and realistic optimism of Jesus, does not realize the importance of God's presence. It is stated, "Secular social and political optimism is an illusion. Without God, neither freedom and liberty nor property and wealth will lead to peace." Again, in the section Transition Difficulties, it is stated that the spiritistic belief in a providential deity of many religions must be harmonized with the humanistic and idealistic belief of many philosophies and the mechanistic and naturalistic conceptions of many sciences. The beliefs of the many established religions, philosophies, and sciences are only partial and at times false. It is stated on page 1090 of the Urantia book that these three partial approaches to the reality of the cosmos must eventually become harmonized by the revelatory presentation of religion, philosophy, and cosmology, which portrays the triune existence of spirit, mind, and energy proceeding from the Trinity of Paradise and attaining time-space unification within the deity of the Supreme. That is what we aligned in divine administration are to do, to bring epical revelation teachings into every area of life. But first, each of us as individual ascending sons and daughters of God have to bring it into our own consciousness. We each have to continually be in transition, sometimes experiencing great inner confusion and turmoil. Melchizedek tells us in a section in the Urantia book called Problems of Growth that genuine religious living is devoted living, and devoted living is creative living, original and spontaneous. New religious insights arise out of conflicts which initiate the choosing of new and better reaction habits in the place of older and inferior reaction patterns. New meanings only emerge amid conflict, and conflict persists only in the face of refusal to espouse the higher values connoted in superior meanings. What higher values and better ways of responding are you resisting? What old habits and ideas are you tenaciously hanging on to that is creating conflict within you? The Melchizedek goes on to say, religious perplexities are inevitable. There can be no growth without psychic conflict and spiritual agitation. The organization of a philosophic standard of living entails considerable commotion in the philosophic realms of the mind. Loyalties are not exercised in behalf of the great, the good, the true, and the noble without a struggle. Effort is attendant upon clarification of spiritual vision and enhancement of cosmic insight. And the human intellect protests against being weaned from subsisting upon the non-spiritual energies of temporal existence. The slothful animal mind rebels at the effort required to wrestle with cosmic problem solving. Over the years since 1988, when I began to be challenged by Gabriel and celestial over control to accelerate my own growth, I have eventually relaxed more in God. As my faith and wisdom have grown and my ego and pride have decreased, I have become more at peace with the transition process, with the great paradigm shift. I enjoy my cruise on the river of life, whether I experience the stillness of a quiet time or the rush of whitewater rapids. It's an adventure for me. The only time I experience great inner turmoil is when I resist the flow of divine pattern, the flow of God's will for my accelerated ascension. Those many years ago when I wrote in my journal about my struggles with the rush in revelation, personal and epical, that was confronting my established lesser patterns and thought forms, I wrote, when the gentle rain of revelation began, I was a tortoise who slowly and cautiously poked out my head to receive the refreshing, cleansing information which changed me into the hawk. But the hawk was caged in various security and power thought forms. As the rain increased in volume and intensity, I drank of the clean, baptizing information even though at times my wings seemed drenched, and was freed from the bars of crystallized, useless patterns, and flew into the threatening, challenging building storm, receiving the shocks of enlightening bolts as I heard the promise of more painful progress in the thunder. And yet I flew, buffeted by the crosswinds of old established ways, which tempted me to give in and go with them, which I knew would result in a plummet back to earth entrapments. So I flew as the hawk, the cosmic bird of grace, flying into the future rainbow, which promises an eventual end to the storm and the beginning of the first stage of light and life. I am still the hawk flying into the cosmos of interuniversal connection, graced by the presence and guidance of those sent from the universe, Father and Mother. I am the eagle becoming, soon able to fly at greater heights, conquering all that comes before me, gathering other eagles around me to form a force of light and love so great and powerful that darkness dissolves when coming against us. I am a warrioress, a white stallion that rides with my beloved during the day in the piercing light of the sun. We ride swiftly and safely into battle, strong and fierce, fighting the arrows and spears of blind complacency, deception, and destructive patterns. Cosmic grace, truth, and beauty dazzle and daze the darkness, thus shielding us and building a bridge leading from the battle into the safety and softness of the night and the music of the moon and the stars, where I am becoming the black mare, nursing my and my beloved's many battle wounds, massaging the soreness from being such powerful warriors during the day. I am the rainbow woman, and I am becoming the great nurturing mother who weaves paradise patterns of soothing notes that penetrate into our planet's and her people's deep wounds, bathing them with the colors of celestial symphonic vibration. The white stallion and black mare, the rainbow woman and great nurturing mother, rides into the first stage of light and life with others of the cosmic family. Together, we spread light and love in a world struggling to break free of slavery, moving into the promised third garden of true liberty and freedom in the first stage of light and life. Thank you.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.